series. I am the book of Judges. So we're going to be doing it on Wednesday nights for a little while and talk a little bit about the differences here with Joshua and Judges. And we're going to get into these different judges that are represented here. I think you'll enjoy this study. It's completely different in the book of Joshua, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And I'm looking forward to this. It's been a little while since I had the chance to preach, so I'm excited about it. Just a little bit tired, but I'm excited about doing it. Excited about the chance to be in the pulpit again for our missions conference. And being sick this past Sunday, I really, truly miss being here and doing this. I know it said Judges chapter number one, but we're gonna skip around a little bit here. It's not going to be about a certain passage tonight, more about the book of Judges as an overview, and kind of get you to answer this question: how did Israel get here? Or what happened to Israel? And the book of Joshua was a book of conflict, but also was a book of conquest. It was characterized by victory after victory after victory after victory. There was some defeats, and we looked at that. We looked at the Ais, we looked at what happened to Gibeonites, but Joshua was this perspective that God has this plan for you. You can have a victorious Christian life if you will follow God's command. And that's where Joshua was. Now, Judges is, okay, what's going to happen? God has given you all this opportunity. He's given you all this privilege. He's giving you this land to just go and possess. The book of Judges is a little bit different. Instead of being a story of victory after victory after victory, the story of defeat is a story of deliverance, and then a story of disappointment once again. It's pretty much a vicious cycle. What happens is Israel serves God. Israel then begins to forsake God. Israel then follows their own way. They do things the way they think is best, kind of in a way of pleasure, seeking after God. Then God allows them to be sold into slavery. Then after, while being in slavery, they become servitude to the nations. They realize their sin. They cry out to God. They turn back to God. They repent. God raises up judges. The people are delivered. Some really interesting things. And like I said, some of the great stories. The stories of Gideon. The stories of Samson. The stories of Deborah. Just lots of great stories in here. But how in the world did Israel get to a spot where they continue to get sold into slavery or given into slavery because of their sin? What happened? They went from serving the Lord to falling into sin and idolatry. Israel's enslaved. Israel cries out. God brings up a judge. Israel's delivered. They serve God many times until that judge passes away. And then it happens over and over and over again. It's about defeat. You know, they're defeated. And then the amazing thing is God still loves them. God is patient with them. God delivers them. And you hope they get it. They hope that they don't have to do it again. They hope that they're not going to fall again and fail again. But the cycle keeps on happening. So what happened to Israel? How did they get to this spot? We're going to start here in Joshua chapter 24. You said, well, you said Judges 1, but Joshua 24 is the next page over. So Joshua 24, remember that Joshua, one of his last things he does, he brings everybody together. And he tells them, choose you this day. Look at verse number 15 of Judges 24. It says, and if you see me evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he begins explaining it all to them. Verse 16, the people answers him and says, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua, how could you ever consider that we would do anything else but serve the Lord? That's ridiculous. God is God. We're going to serve him. Verse 17, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord God, for he is our God. So, you know, we're going to see in the book of Judges, they are going to continue on falling and falling and failing back. And they're going to talk about how they worshipped other gods. We're talking about how they actually bowed down to other gods and worshipped other gods and things like that. How did they get there? they're saying here when Joshua, when he is saying goodbye, they said, look, we're going to serve him. But remember Joshua's response in verse number 19. I noticed, you noticed that we mentioned that maybe he was a little bit harsher. But look, Joshua said unto the people, they just said, we're going to serve God. And he says, you cannot serve the Lord. He was saying that then you're not going to be able to serve God this way. That you're not going to be able to have idols over here and the one true God over here. It's just not going to work. And he's forewarning here, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy Lord. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He says, he's not going to overlook your transgressions. He's not going to overlook your sins. Joshua says, you cannot serve God this way. Because you later on, they go back and they keep on spot. And he says to them, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he had done you good. But you know what? People said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. They say, no, Joshua, we are going to do it. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua said, ye are witnesses. He says, look, you know, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. You're saying the right things, but I see how you're living. And if you keep on going down this road, you're not going to serve God this way. Because after they even said, yeah, we're going to serve the Lord, what does Joshua tell them to do in verse 23? Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. He says, look, okay, if you're going to serve God, then you need to put these things away. But you see in Judges chapter number 1, it says in verse number 1, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them. So, to give you a review for those that wasn't here for the book of Joshua, they went into this land, they conquered main areas of this land. There's still much land to be covered, but when it came, when they divided the land up, they got the possessions, different tribes got these possessions, and they were supposed to go in and drive out all the Canaanites, drive out all the people that were in their area. They were supposed to get rid of them, supposed to put them to death, supposed to do it. Whatever it is, none of them were supposed to be left. So Joshua dies. I think they have good intentions here. They don't start serving Baal right off. But what they do is they go to God and say, God, okay, who's the first one who's supposed to go up? And God answers in verse number 2. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the hand, then delivered the land into his hand. So they went past this. So they begin the journey here. Joshua's gone. They begin this leadership. They begin under this leadership by listening to the Lord and having the Lord's commandments, having the Lord's. There's no ruler here. There's no Joshua. There's no Moses. There's no king. There's no Samuel yet. There's no prophet. This is supposed to be like a theocracy. This is the way I believe God had intended Israel to be ruled. And God wanted them to follow his laws and love him with all their mind, all their heart, and all their soul. And God was going to bless them miraculously. And God was going to use them miraculously. And so they went up. Look at verse number 3. Judah said unto Simeon and his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. Nowhere does it say that God told Judah to do this. But Judah goes and asks them to do this. And he says, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with them. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. So you see they're beginning good. But the rest of the book, it's about them failing. How did they get there? So I'd like to look for a little while tonight. We're going to look at chapter number 1, and we're going to look at a couple other passages, how they get there, and how we also sometimes have the same vicious cycle. We have a cycle that God makes us promises, but then we face defeat. And then we cry out to God, and God delivers us, and we're thinking, I'm God now. I've learned my lesson. And then we get discouraged again, or we disappoint again, and we fall back into defeat. How in the world, why in the world, why are they here? If you want to take your Bible, if not, you just listen. In Judges chapter 21, there's a phrase I think that helps us. Judges chapter 21, and it's the last chapter in the book of Judges, in verse number 25. Judges 21, 25, the Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Now look at this last phrase. Every man did that which was right. So, how did Israel get here? There's two key phrases that's found in the book of Judges. This is one of them. This is written twice in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that was right in his own eyes. Now, if you take the Bible back to Judges chapter number 2, Judges chapter 2 and verse number 11, you see the second key phrase. And it says, this is read at least six different times in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2, verse number 11, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal." So what's the phrase there? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And these two phrases, they go together. They're describing why Israel is where they're at right now. They did what was right in their own eyes, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. These two things were combined. They did not choose to follow God's way. They did not choose to listen to the Lord and drive everyone out, even though it is what God specifically told them to do and God empowered them to do. They said, no, no, no. I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. And then you see the second phrase is, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What's interesting, both these phrases describe the exact same problem. Both these phrases describe the same situation. That which was right in the eyes of the people was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now listen to that. That which was right in the eyes of the people was evil in the sight of the Lord. Reminds me of that verse in Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Israel was getting to this spot and getting to this moment, and they were saying, I'm not going to do what God has told me to do. Instead, I'm going to do what I believe is right in my own eyes. There's two things I want you to think about tonight. We're just going to kind of talk through these and give you some ideas of why Israel's here. First thing I want you to see is Israel failed to obey God completely. Israel failed to obey God completely. If you'd like to take your Bible back to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, we see that God had given them a responsibility. He had given them a command. This command was to put to death any person that was found in the land of Canaan. You said, what? Well, we'll get there in a second. This is what the command was. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Verse number 16. It says, but of the sins of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for inheritance. He said, okay, these people, these cities, exactly where they're going into right now. And he says, that the Lord is giving them as an inheritance. And then look at that next phrase. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breathe. But thou shalt utterly destroy, namely the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And look for verse number 18, he tells them why. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. He says, there's a problem with it. And I want you to do something. I want you to be obedient here. I want you to drive out. And I want you to put these people to death. And Israel failed to obey God completely. Look what it says in chapter 1, back in the book of Judges again. Judges chapter number 1, look at verse number 27. It says, Judges 1, 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. Verse number 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong, look, when they were strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. So, look at verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse number 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants. Verse number 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants. Verse 32. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Now, if you see here the difference here in the verses, 28, 29, 30, 31, the Israelites was the big group, and the Canaanites were the smaller group. Verse 32, it says the Asherites, they dwelt among the Canaanites. That means there was even more Canaanites than there was Israelites. Verse 33, neither did the Naphtalites drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh. Verse 34, and the Amorites forced the children of man into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. So you see here the Amorites are forcing the people of Dan. They couldn't do it. God had told them to get rid of them. Look at verse number 35. But the Amorites would dwell on the mountain. You know, over and over, you see in chapter number 1 that God had told them to get rid of the people, and they chose not to do it. They did not obey God completely. How did they get there? How did they live a life instead of the amazing life that God had planned for them in Joshua? How did they get to a spot where they were defeated, had to get delivered, and get disappointed again? Because they didn't obey God completely. And you say, Pastor, what does that mean? I don't know, have you ever been there? Hey, we want to serve God, we want to live for God, right? We want to do what's right. We're here on a Wednesday night. We're listening to the book of Judges. You know, how does that apply to us? I mean, we're listening to Pastor P speak. I mean, you're here because you know there's a point, right? That we want to serve God, we want to be able to obey God. They were pushing the people out. They were taking over the lands. Judges didn't do it all the way. They didn't drive them out completely. They didn't get rid of them completely. And I have three different things I'm thinking about why they didn't obey God completely. First thing, and I put the word maybe in front of these, because I can't say it dramatically, but I think there's some real truth in this. Maybe they thought God was being too harsh. Maybe they thought God was being too harsh. People trip over this. People want answers. Why would God tell the people to get rid of all those people? There was women there. There was children there. Maybe they thought God was being too harsh. I mean, that's probably how we would feel. I mean, naturally. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude. I read this and I'm wondering, why would God, and God told us in verse number in Deuteronomy, we've read that, is because if they stay, they're going to teach you about their gods. They're going to teach you about their ways. They're going to teach you about your abominations. If you're going to fulfill God's will for your life, Israel, you're going to have to get rid of all this. You're going to have to stop this. You know, you're going to have to obey God completely. And maybe they said, we're not going to do it because we think God is being too harsh. You ever been there? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and when we go through the Bible, we read the Bible, we believe the Bible, but when God says, I want you to obey me completely, some things that maybe we don't understand, or we use our own wisdom, our own thought process, and we say, God, that just seems a little too tough. God, why in the world would you ask me to do that? That just doesn't seem fair. And maybe that's part of the reason why. Maybe they believe that God must mean something different. They believe that God really could not mean for them to get rid of everybody. Maybe they think God is being too harsh. And I tell you, Christian, I think one of the reasons why we are described more in this day in the book of Judges than we are in the book of Joshua is because we don't follow completely. It's because we begin to question God's plan. Did God really say that? Just like Satan convinced Eve, yea, has God said. Did God really mean that? But what happens is when we begin to question God and question God's way, it begins to hinder our faith. If you look at, again in the book, at the beginning of the book of Judges, and I'll tell you for sake of time, Judah gives this example of what happens with Judah. And they have this great victory. And in this great victory, these good things happen. Verse number 8, chapter 1, verse number 8 says, now the children of Judah, now look at this phrase, had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it. So this happened in the book of Joshua. This actually happened when Joshua was still alive. What happened in verses 1 through 7, I believe, happened after Joshua died because it says that. Verse number 8 will get to the point where it says had did this. And these are things that are already described in Joshua in the book of Joshua. Verse number 9, afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountains and in the south and in the valley. And then you have the story of what happened to Caleb. Remember Caleb? They went and did this mountain. They fought these mountains. And Caleb says, whoever will go take care of this group of people, they can have my daughter to marry. And that continues on through there. But if you go all the way down to verse number 19, and it says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, and Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Verse 19, I had a question mark written next to it. Before my Bible studies, I never studied it out, never really thought about it. But I think what God is doing here, he is making a comparison. He is saying that Caleb was able to go up on this mountain at 85 years old and be able to expel out all these giants. He was able to get rid of these giants. Caleb had the faith because the Bible said about Caleb what? That he followed God wholly with his whole heart. He served God and he loved God, and he was able to do something miraculous, and he was able to do something special because he followed God that way. But you come to verse number 19, this group of Judah was willing to fight those verses 1 through 7. They were willing to take on and defeat them, the 10,000. But when it came to the time in the valley, it affected their faith because they did not believe and follow God fully. Christian, I want you to understand that the reason why many of us in this church in the Laodicean church age is we're living in the time of Judges instead of the time of Joshua is because we truly don't follow them completely. We look at certain things and say, that's just too hard. God could not mean that for this generation. And that's why, maybe that's the reason why they didn't do it. They thought it was too harsh. And you come here in this spot, in this moment, they could not drive out the chariots. And now, God was able, wasn't God able to take the chariots? I mean, honestly, when you go a few chapters down, you know what happens? God takes out the chariots. It wasn't the fact that God was not able to do it. It was the fact that they weren't willing to have the faith to take this on. And I want to encourage you, they did not follow God completely. And I think one of the reasons is because they thought God was being too harsh. Second thing I want you to think about is maybe Israel thought they knew better than God. You ever been there? I know they kind of go hand in hand, but they're two different things, really. God, I know what your word says, but I really think I need to do it this way. God, you understand. God, I know your word tells me to forgive. I know your word tells me to love. I know your word tells me not to do this. But God, I really think that this is what's best for this situation. And that's what happens here. They did not follow him completely. Maybe it's because they were too harsh, but maybe it was just the fact that they thought they knew better than God. They followed him halfway. Does that sound like us sometimes? I don't know. It sounds like me sometimes. I want to follow by my heart, but there's sometimes in my life when I look at situations and I say, God, how in the world can I follow that rule? How in the world can I follow that guy? Well, remember what it said in Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 2:11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember, that which was right in their own eyes was evil in the sight of the Lord. They were calling evil good and good evil. They were looking at that and they were saying, God must not want us to drive these people out. They even made them tributaries. They even put them under bondage. It means that they made them pay them as their slaves, or they made them be willing to carry their water. They thought they could do all these things. They thought they had a better idea than God. And they thought they knew better. Isaiah 55, verses 8, 9. Most of us will remember those verses. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but the water of the earth may it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now listen to this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto. Maybe Israel thought they could handle it. I think about this, and you say, well, where do you see that? Well, if you look at the end of chapter number 1, there's a number of times when they talked about how they made them become tributaries, that they put them under a tribute, which means Israel was in control of the land, and this group would have to pay Israel, or they would have to take care of the things that Israel didn't want to do. Instead of killing this group of people, let's let them come draw our water. Let's let them carry the wood. Let's let them be here, and they can be around us, and they can have these certain jobs and these certain little things, but they can't have say. They can't have control. We can handle that. That's what they thought. And Christian, many times, the reason why we don't follow them completely, the reason why we don't clean up our lives and get rid of the things that we should get rid of is because we think we can handle it. We think that a little bit of sin is not going to hurt us. We think a little bit of wrong is not going to cause an issue. I began thinking a little bit about some Bible characters that did that. Thought about Lot. Now Lot must have thought Sodom wasn't going to hurt. I mean, why would you want this to happen to your family? And I'm sure the first time they saw Lot saw what was happening to Sodom, his heart was sickened. But when he looked over there and he saw those low water plains, and they reminded him of Egypt, he's like, I can handle this. That's much better than over there. And for me and my family, we can move us here and we can stay here, and this will not bother us. They thought they could handle this then. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could take a little bit out. Peter thought, hey, I can warm next to the fire for a little while. I can handle being around this group of people. I can do this. David thought, I'll just stay home from the war. They don't really need me. Joab's out there. They can take care of this. I'll just stay home. And Achan, what did he think? Just a little bit of stuff won't hurt me. God's getting all this stuff. A little bit of sin won't hurt me. And the reason why we come to this book of Judges is because they didn't follow God completely, and it's because of the fact they thought, maybe God is being too hard, or maybe I have a better idea than God, or maybe the sin just won't really hurt us that much. Yes, that's good for that person over there that grew up that way, or that acts like that. They need that. But I can handle it. We come to tough things in the Bible. We come to things that we think maybe God is a little too hard. Let me think about it. God tells us to forgive people. Why do God ask us to do that sometimes? I think maybe it's because we can't handle bitterness. And then we think, you know, I can harbor a little bit of bitterness in my heart, and I can be a little bit angry, and I can be a little bit mad, and I can be this and that, and this and that. And you know what happens? We don't follow completely. What about this idea of looking at things you're not supposed to? The Bible says, you know, put no wicked thing before thine eye. You know, it says you're not supposed to look at those things, and we think, you know what, I can handle a little bit of that. God is just being too harsh. That's not what God intended. And you know what? I got a better grip. I can know what I can handle. That's why they didn't follow completely. That's why they ended up there. They did not get rid of what God told them to get rid of. You know, the Bible even goes as far as saying, flee youthful lust. You see something as a youthful lust, you know, run off, think, I can handle it. Maybe nobody else can. It's like Peter sitting there with all the disciples. All of them might deny you, but I can't. And Jesus is like, you have no idea what you're saying. And it's the same thing here. They're saying, hey, why can't we keep these people around? Everybody else does it. Why can't we keep them around? And God's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. In our Christian lives, we want to live in the book of Joshua. We want to see the victories. We want to pass through our Jordans. We want to see the walls of Jericho coming down. We want to see not our past stopping us, like it did with that prostitute Rahab. But what we many times find is that we live in the book of Judges because we think we can handle it. We think that this is really not going to bother us. It may seem extreme. And people might even say, you're a kook. People might say that you're, you know, extreme. People might say, you're this, you're that. The response is, I'm trying to be biblical. And do I understand why God asked, you know, wouldn't there have been a better way for us to figure out if God could have gotten the women out and the children out? When you get to heaven, you can ask him that. But we see what God said, exactly what happened to this group. Because they did not follow him completely. First thing is, how did Israel get here? Because Israel did not follow completely. Secondly, Israel reaped what they sowed. Look at chapter number 2 here real quick, verse number 3. Verse number 1, you see that the angel of the Lord comes up from Gilgal. When did this happen? You know, and just a few verses later on, it talks about Joshua being there and Joshua sending him home. We see that there is an entrance of what happened before, and there's kind of combination going on here. But in verse number 3, you see what the angel of the Lord said. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be as snare unto you. Verse number 2, he says, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants. What did they do in chapter number 1? They made leagues. And I think this is when Joshua was still alive. And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, do not make leagues with them. The inhabitants of the land. He says, ye shall throw down their altars, and but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And he says, look, this is what's going to happen. that they are going to become a snare unto you. They're going to become as a thorn unto you. Israel reaps what they sowed because they did not follow him completely. Go ahead and look down a few verses, and it says in verse number, go ahead and look in verse number 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bound themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. This is where they end up. God says, you can't handle this. This is where they end up. On their face before other gods and other altars. You know what? They never thought this would happen to them. I'm sure when Peter was cursing that he did not know Jesus Christ, he never thought that would happen. When Lot was banging on that door trying to get his son-in-laws to come out of the city, I'm sure he thought that would never happen. When his wife turned around, I'm sure he thought, that would never happen to us. How many of us today maybe do something today that we would have never done before because we knew it was wrong, but we've let compromise come into our heart and we say, I didn't think that would ever happen to us. That's where the discouragement and the defeat come in. Yes, the amazing thing is in the story is that God delivers us. God raises people up. God's able to. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. But then there's disappointment again. Why does that happen? It's because we choose not to follow him completely. We see apostasy takes place. They reap what they sow. They thought this could never happen. And we're going to see in this, and one of the questions was, didn't they ever learn? There was 12 different judges from what I can tell. One, you think that God, after getting sold into slavery the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time? But we have to ask ourselves the same question. Aren't we still questioning God, saying, isn't that just too hard? Sometimes we think, God, I think I know a little bit better here. I got this. Sometimes we say, that sin's not yours. Don't you think we would ever learn? Sometimes we get confused about God and God's patience. Sometimes I think, because God is patient with us and God is kind, we sometimes think God just, we sometimes think God is impotent in dealing with us. Because God is patient and he waits for us to repent, we sometimes think, well, God hasn't done anything about it now. What's the big deal? We think that God is impotent, which means he does not have the power to deal with us. And you would think Israel would have fixed this over these hundreds of years, but God shows him once again and once again, if you're not going to obey me, then this is what's going to happen. Sometimes we confuse the patience of God with ignorance. We think that God just doesn't know what's happening. You know, I'm over here, I've been doing this for years, and God still, I'm still part of the church. I still get to teach Sunday school class. I still get to sin. I still get to do this. I still get to do that. He must not know what's going on. Israel, I think they got so, you know what? We're going to reap what we sow. We're going, it's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. Sometimes people forget about the patience and long-suffering of God. They confuse it with apathy. God just really doesn't care. And I think Israel, they must have these things above their mind. God can't do anything. God doesn't realize what I'm doing. Or God just really doesn't care what I'm doing. The truth is, it's a law. You reap what you sow. What you put in the ground, that's the fruit or the vegetable that's going to come up. Last but not least, I think the final stage of confusing the patience of God is God must like what I'm doing. He must be approving what I'm doing. Not only does God... forget the point that God is just not, can't do anything about it, or the fact that God just doesn't really care. God really likes what I'm doing. And you see that that becomes full-blown apostasy to where there's people today that can live in constant sin and say, this is what God told me to do. I'm living and doing exactly what God wants me to do. And where did it start? It started by not following him. Children of Israel did not follow God completely, and as they did not follow him completely, they began saying things like, God, maybe you're a little confused here. And And as we go through the story, as we open up this book and we look at this book, there's a lot of great things we can learn. I think we're going to enjoy going through the book. And I think we can ask the question is, how did Israel get here? They did not follow them completely, so they reaped what they sowed. And when we look at our own Christian life, maybe we should take a good look at ourselves tonight and say, how did I get here? When where we're at in Christian life, and maybe you're on fire for God, maybe you're living for God, maybe you're having victories, maybe you're living in the Joshua days, and praise the Lord if you are. But if you're struggling in these Judges days, and it's like a vicious cycle, I get delivered, God helps me, God, and it just seems like the next day or the day afterwards, there's defeat, there's discouragement. How did you get here? Is there something in our life that we're not following completely? Is there something there that we're saying that's just too harsh, or God could not have meant it that way, or is there a sin that's saying, well, you know what? I can handle not forgiving. I can handle looking at that. I can handle not loving my wife, or submitting to my husband, or bearing my parents, or being faithful to church, or not giving, not being a soul winner. There's a long list of things that I can handle that. That's not going to hurt me. I think that's what ancient Israel said. That won't hurt me. But over and over again, it's in this cycle. If we will reap what we sow, let's take a long look at ourselves as we get ready to get into this book of Judges and say, couldn't the book people get a clue? I mean, this happened over and over. They got sold into bondage over and over. Don't you think they would have figured it out? And many of us have been saved for many years. And we would think that we would have figured this out by now. Let's want to follow him. Let's want to love him with all our heart, all our soul. Let's have faith and trust in God, even in the things that may be a little difficult for us to understand and say, God, if you said it, I believe it, and I want to follow it. And that's how I want to live, because I love you, and I see what you've done for me. I know your plan for me, and I'm just going to be obedient to you. Now, thankfully, we live in a different dispensation. We live in a different age, and we have different rules and guidelines. We get to be kind and sweet to everyone. We're supposed to reach out to other people. We're supposed to be caring. We don't have to follow the guidelines that was mentioned in the recommendation of Israel. And if you like it, I got reasons why I believe that God told him to do that. And, you know, how the wrath wasn't full and how God gave them a number of years. Just as Rahab repented, how I believe that the people would have repented, that God would have spared them also in some different ways. And I can tell you all about that, but that's not the point. The message tonight is, how in the world did they get sent to Joshua? Yes, I'm going to serve God. Joshua, you're wrong. We're going to serve him. We're going to serve him. We're going to serve him with all our heart, to the point where they're saying, well, maybe God's just a little rough. Maybe God doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe I can handle just a little bit of this sin. That's something we need to be careful of. How did we get here? Now let's repent. Let's ask God to help us and encourage God to show us what areas are alive. Go ahead and stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.